Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
John Edwards here to start the show at 4:30. Man, John, you are an island of sanity in an otherwise troubled day. I mean, as I try to get my head around the closing of the Haskell in Stansted, I thank your presence for being the levity with the world of sports and your keen sense of observation and your hot takes.
I'm here for the hot takery.
Okay. Oh, man. Can you believe it? Anyway, talk about baseball. One series started this week. Most of it starts next Thursday. But did you take in any of the Cubs and Dodgers in Tokyo?
I saw part of the first game, and I thought it was really kind of a neat thing that the opening pitch of the Major League Baseball season was thrown by a Japanese player to a Japanese batter in Japan. And that's just sort of a sign of how MLB has embraced the international aspect of its game.
Yeah, well, baseball is not hard to sell in Japan. But you wonder if they're going to travel all the way there, shouldn't they play like three, perhaps even four games?
You would think that, but that series, whenever they've done it, has always only been two. And I guess it's the teams don't want to give up that many home games. But yeah, the teams that went over did play a couple of exhibitions against Japanese teams as well. So they do get, both of them got four games out of it, but only two that count.
Yeah, well, all tickets were sold, and the few tickets that were available were in the $3,000 to $4,000 range.
They love their Shohei Ohtani over there.
I would think so. In football, the Vikings have finally solidified their QB situation, and it's not Aaron Rodgers.
No, they seem to have settled on going with J.J. McCarthy as their starter next year, so good luck with that one. But anything that's not Aaron Rodgers is probably a better choice than quickly fading Aaron Rodgers, and he may instead be heading, they're looking at the Steelers.
How would the Steelers, who by all accounts are a really straight sort of organization, how could mm-hmm. they even consider dealing with Aaron Rodgers, who's a nutcase at best?
It's a bit of a strange one, and I'm not sure it's a really good fit for him and Mike Tomlin. And it just seems like if that were to happen, it feels like it would be going badly wrong by August.
John, here we are on March 21. Are you excited over March Madness, which is ramping up?
Yeah, we had a big day yesterday. McNeese State, who was seeded number 12. And when did McNeese become a state? I need to catch up. Yeah. They beat number 5 Clemson. That was probably the upset of the day. There's an 11-6. Drake beat Missouri as well, which is bad news for Seinfeld fans who hate the Drake.
Yeah.
And for those of you who were fans of sweaters in the 80s, St. John's won its first NCAA tournament game since 2000. Because Rick Pitino is back, baby.
Back, baby. Who do you like that might go all the way?
I think Houston looks good. You know, Duke's up there. St. John's is a bit of a dark horse. They could come through and take it. So,
I have basketball buddies that can no longer watch the NBA and watch collegiate basketball all the time now.
Well, because they play defense.
Yeah. And it just seems like the NBA, they take long shots for the three at every turn.
Yeah, the NBA is all, it's become now either dunking or threes and nothing in between.
Big announcement this week, John. The new president at the IOC is a woman.
Yes, it's really impressive to see the glass ceiling being broken and to know that women can be just as corrupt as men.
You're so bad.
So the new president is Kirsty Coventry, who is sports minister from Zimbabwe, which makes her not only the first woman, but the first African to become IOC president. She has a lot of experience in this area. She was a swimmer for Zimbabwe in Beijing 2008. And after she won four medals, she got given $100,000 from Robert Mugabe in a suitcase.
Good for her. Here's the question. What's worse, the IOC or FIFA?
Oh, probably the IOC, but not by much.
I'm glad I almost got you with that one. John Edwards coming up at 5:30. Talk to you in a bit.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
Of course, there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM. The Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on The Friday Drive.
Time for the Weekly News Review with the always impressive Mike McDevitt. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay, Daniel. How are you?
Very well. As well as Mark Carney, I guess, the new Prime Minister. Oh, his first trip this week, Michael, to go to France and England. And many were a little upset he didn't fly to Washington right away. What do you think of that, and what do you make of his tone thus far?
Well, first of all, the people were upset. It's very untraditional for Prime Minister to go his first visit anywhere but the United States. So let's face it, these are not normal times. We got a president can't stop poking a beaver, as it were. You know, Carney saying, well, you know, to hell with you then, in the most polite way possible. I wasn't surprised. There's great potential economically in Great Britain and in France. People are getting upset, but I don't see what's the point of going down to the States to get harangued by a fool down there.
Yeah, I was listening to Radio-Canada, the speeches last week. They suggested, this was new to me, that the European Union is actually open to having Canada join with them.
That's an idea that's been floated before. Canada has free trade agreements with most of the European Union. It's going to need more markets and easier access to markets more than ever now. Europe is the same way, you know. They would benefit from a stronger Canada within their membership. I think that's a win-win situation. Now, I know these are complicated issues. The European Union has some fairly strong regulations. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
contrary to what the orange one is saying, we do have a lot of things to offer. I'm thinking Carney goes to France, he goes to England. Let the Donald stew in negative public opinion and less than stellar financial returns at this time. That's not a bad thing.
Well, apparently he doesn't care about that anymore. You know, he can make things up as he goes along, and we're making America great, and the way to do that is through crashing the stock markets and price of everything going up. Can you imagine what the impact of 25% tariffs on aluminum and steel are going to have on the price of an automobile? American-built cars consist largely of Canadian products that have to move across the border like 7 or 8 times. You know, nobody's going to be able to afford a car, let alone a Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla is only part of the problem, but man, this could be the final nail for Ford, GM, and Stellantis in North America.
Yeah, I noticed a report last week. Huge chunks of Tesla's body parts are falling off at highway speeds. People are going to be really happy about that. 50 pounds of aluminum flying at from a disintegrating Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla stock is down nearly 50% now. Meantime, Pierre Poilievre was insulted that Mr. Trump did not support the conservatives, but supported the liberals for the next election. Poilievre hasn't changed the message, down with the carbon tax, though Carney has done that. Canada will now be one of the only countries, Michael, without some form of carbon tax. You know, I was looking at Poilievre this week, couldn't help but thinking that he's the perfect politician, Michael, for 1950s Canada.
There you go. Trump seems to recognize, claiming that he'd much rather work with a liberal is going to help the conservatives. It's certainly not. It's a transparent piece of crap. You know, everybody's got to be able to see through that. No matter what Pierre says, he can't take back all the Trumpisms that he's uttered over the last 8 years. People have got to be aware of it. He should have just kept his mouth shut, let Pierre put on his patriotic Canadian cap instead of the MAGA hat that he's been seen to wear before. Poilievre is his panic now. I mean, he was in sure shot majority position not 2 weeks ago. It looks like the Liberals, as of today, are in majority status for the upcoming election. So,
yeah. Well, according to Liaison Strategie, PLC is now at 39%, Conservative Party at 36%, NDP at 10%. So he's fell off the cliff, Monsieur Poilievre has. He needs to learn that us Canadians, we don't take too nicely to fascism.
No, not in general. Maybe on the provincial level, we put up with it, but not on the federal level. And like I said, these are not normal times. I mean, it's ridiculous that the United States would suddenly turn on its traditionally greatest ally. Poilievre has to turn his head 180 degrees to pretend to be, I'll stand up for Canada.
Well, he doesn't seem to be very good at turning the message around.
Well, he's only got one message. That's the thing about the carbon tax. With that taken out of his argument, he doesn't have an argument. I don't want to claim disingenuity on behalf of the Liberals. There's going to be some form of carbon tax. It may not be straight to the consumer as much as it is to the industrial consumers. Well, you know, we're not crazy here. The Liberals have succeeded in taking the wind out of the Conservatives' sails. They've only had one message for the last 8 years. Considering the rebates and everything, wasn't all that unpopular a policy. I think we will have a carbon tax in some way, shape, or form.
All right. Hey, Michael, the Canadian boycott to U.S. travel is having a dramatic effect. Drops of 85% in business from north to the border. Canadians are increasingly turning away from visiting U.S. destinations. One National Tour Association member operator reported just 2 bookings for U.S. tours in the past 2 weeks compared to 39 last year. I saw a couple of weeks ago that a 10% drop-off in Canadians visiting the U.S., if that were to happen, it would cost 140,000 jobs in the U.S. That's if it's 10%. We're looking at 50% to 80%.
Well, I saw a report this past week where a Canadian was talking about it's spring break in British Columbia. Usually the border is packed. There was just nobody going down to the States.
I feel sorry for my friends in Maine. I've been talking to a lot of people here and everyone feels the same. Buy Canada. Do not even look at anything having to do with the USA.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people that are buying, been paying attention to where their food products are coming from, discovering that while it may have been at one time easier to get American products, Trump likes to say that the United States doesn't need anything from Canada, but the reverse is true too. We can get our oranges from other places in Florida. We can get our broccoli from other places. What can I say?
Yep. The doozy of the week, Michael. 27-year-old White House press secretary Carolyn Leavitt. She says this week that France should be very grateful to the U.S. that it's not speaking German right now.
The Second World War, according to the United States, Europe would have been totally screwed without the intervention of the United States, which is only true in one sense, that they provided most of the military equipment. But the price in human costs was far, far greater in the Soviet Union. You can say, yeah, we gave a lot of tanks, but look, Soviet Union paid in human blood.
Statements like that, Michael, coming from Washington, from a 27-year-old tart, just grates me to no end.
I once thought that was Carol Ann, whatever her name was.
Wasn't it Carol Ann Conway who invented alternate truth?
You know, this one is a real piece of work. She follows the party line.
Very quickly, a couple of things. Quebec will allow restaurants to crack down on no-shows by allowing owners to charge clients who don't honor their reservations. Some restaurants say they lose up to $50,000 per year because people call and then don't show up. So we're talking $10 per person if you reserve for five people or more. Quebec is the only province that doesn't do this at this point. Rules would take effect in mid-July. That's still not powerful enough as far as I'm concerned. There's nothing worse than somebody, you know, these poor people, they're trying everything they can to make a living, and then some people just don't show up. That's horrible.
Yeah, it is, you know, especially if you've got a large party that books reservations at a restaurant. That's tables that aren't available. They have to hire somebody just to serve that table. People don't show up without any kind of warning at all. I was surprised to learn that Quebec is the only province that doesn't do that.
I say, hey, restaurants, go for it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yep. Hudson's Bay is closing. Sort of sad. Admitted it was struggling with financial difficulties amid subdued consumer spending, Canada-U.S. trade tensions, and post-pandemic drops in downtown store traffic. It's an old store, man.
And it's a very historic one. Hudson's Bay Company has been in existence since, like, I think the 1690s or something. Used to own 3/4 of the country. It's not really surprising.
That store no longer being at the Carrefour, that's going to be like one big front tooth missing.
Yes, it is. Yep. It's going to be a big hole. You know, they had a good run.
Well, we're still having a good run, so there. Michael McDevitt, the news review on the Friday Drive. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, Daniel. You getting out on your bike yet?
75 kilometers so far this year.
Hey, all right.
But lots of dust and mud, let me tell you.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I bet. And the wind isn't pleasant.
Well, that's what it's all about.
There's sunshine and the snow is gone. And
have a good weekend.
Okay, you too.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
Oh, people, look around you. The signs are everywhere. You've left it for somebody other than you to be the one to care. You're lost inside your houses. There's no time to find you now. While your walls are burning and your towers are turning, I'm gonna leave you here. Try to get down to the sea somehow. The road is filled with homeless souls, every woman, child, and man, who have no idea where they will go, but they'll help you if they can. Gonna pull them through somehow. While the fires are raging hotter and hotter, but the sisters of the sun are gonna rock me on the water now. Rock me on the water, sisters. Oh, people, look among you. It's there your hope must lie. There's a seabird above you, gliding in one place, like Jesus in the sky. Stand before the Father, but the sisters of the Son are gonna rock me on the water now. Rock me on the water. Sister, will you soothe my fever brown? Hey, rock me on the water. Maybe I'll remember.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Taylor McClure reports from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. Taylor McClure, how are you?
I'm not doing too bad, Daniel. Loving how the weather is warming up.
How are you doing? I'm doing fine. Thank you so much. A couple of things from you this week. Let's start with the support measures for businesses in Brome, Missisquoi.
Yeah, so since the United States has implemented the 25% tariff on certain Canadian goods, the CLD, the Brome Missisquoi, which is a nonprofit organization that provides support to local entrepreneurs and businesses here in the area, has created measures and developed a strategic task force to support businesses here in the MRC. We had the chance to speak with the executive director of the CLD and NRC of Brome Missisquoi, Melanie Thibault, who explained to CIDR that there are many small businesses here in Brome Missisquoi that will need help and support as they face this new obstacle and challenge with the tariffs set in place. So she noted that a lot of the financial aid programs that are set in place by the federal and provincial governments mostly focus on providing aid to like medium, large size businesses or to major exporters. But there are smaller businesses that supply these exporters, you know, that will also need help. So as a result, the CLD de Brome Missisquoi has already sent out a survey to collect information on the needs of businesses here in Brome Missisquoi. That is one of many measures that they have in place. And its task force will provide entrepreneurs and businesses with a number of services, such as reevaluating a business plan, helping them innovate in their product or business, developing new markets, etc., to help address the new challenge that is tariffs. So this is a free service. Of course, anyone here in our community of Brome Missisquoi is able to reach out to the CLD to receive their support. So this is something that's happening here in our community to address the economic challenges that this may present for some businesses here in Brome Missisquoi.
Got it. All right. And Sutton addressing food insecurity.
Yeah. So for those who aren't aware, the month of March actually marks Nutrition Month. Within that context, the town of Sutton recently announced the appointment of Dana Cooper as coordinator of concerted food security projects for the municipality. So with funding from the Action Plan for Family and Seniors and the grants from the Ministère de la Famille and the Fondation Lucie et André Chagnon, Dana will be working with stakeholders in Sutton to address food insecurity and support and develop community initiatives to meet the food needs of all citizens. So Dana will be working with community groups that already work to address food insecurity, such as the CAP Sutton and Racine Pop, to create a network that ensures the access to fresh and local food for all citizens year-round. And with the price of food continuing to increase, Dana noted that as of right now, this is not a possibility for everyone here on the territory. Of course, her mandate also involves working with the farmers, producers, transformers, and distributors in the area to ensure that citizens are fed with healthy local foods and that this is accessible to the most vulnerable populations. This is something that they've put in place to address food insecurity, which we're all aware is on the rise everywhere around the province. So it'll be interesting to see the types of initiative and projects that will come out of this.
We're going through rough times, Taylor. If it's not the tariffs, it's the food insecurity. People have to have their guards up constantly. Thank goodness for programs like these.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
Taylor is heard on CIDI FM 99.1. Daily news bits can also be heard over CIDI991.com/website. Taylor McClure, have a great weekend. We talk next week.
Yes, you too, Daniel. Thanks a lot.
Friday night weather, clear, low minus 5 degrees. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness, high 11. Tomorrow night, cloudy, 60% chance of rain showers or flurries, low minus 14. Sunday, sunny, high minus 3. And long range Monday, snow or rain, and a high of plus 2 degrees. Coming up right after 5 o'clock, Ed Humphrey with Townshippers information for you. 5:10 interview of the week, Françoise Perron from Orford Music, the new general director. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnode. All on the Friday Drive right here on CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM.